Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We don't know what's going on with these computers today. But we thank you, O God, for you, awesome God, almighty God, a holy God. We ask you, Father God, to touch the atmosphere today, Lord. And, Lord, do what only you can do. Lord, we ask you to bring change, let the anointing come in and destroy every yoke this day, Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God. We ask you, O God, to sterilize the atmosphere right now. Remove every satanic power, every demonic power, every sorcerer, every warlock, and every witch that is working against us. Yes, Lord.
I've come to praise you for your goodness and your kindness. Your faithfulness and love you show to me. Give me one up for you, pick me up. The mercy's ever new. More, just to preach the more. Can I take it again? We have come to praise you for your goodness and your kindness. Your faithfulness and love you show to me. Believe me when I fall, you pick me up. Your mercy's ever new. More, just to preach the more. Everybody lift your voice and say, the more, just the more. The more all that But the one that lives in me is better than he that lives in the world. The world will never leave me and never will forsake me. It's all my fault. Yes, the priest alone. Yeah. Men rejected me, looked down on me, and said I was a nature. But the one that lives in me is greater than he that lives in the world. He said he'll never see and never will forsake. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
Yes, come on. Play on, play on, play on, play on.
Yeah.
Somebody say yes! Thank you. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way. We are so grateful, oh God, to be here in a place where you have put us, oh God. You gave us a place at the table. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving us a place at the table. Hallelujah. At the table of your blessing. We are forever grateful, Lord God Almighty. We bless your holy name. We honor you, our apostle, man of God, so dedicated to the kingdom, the Lord's kingdom business. Lord, we thank you for the kingdom that is in us, Lord. What you have given is so precious, O God. What you have given of yourself to be within us. And Lord, we thank you and we give honor to all of the men and women of God who are dedicated to the kingdom. Kingdom business. Doing the work in Jesus Christ's name. And we agree on the prayers that's gone forth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Who are experiencing the floods. And Lord God, we know that without you, we could never survive. Could never survive anything that come our way without you, Lord. And so we agree, Lord God, that you are still in control, even though the floodwaters are all around and so much is going on in the world right now. And many are suffering. And many are suffering, but still going on in your word. Many of your people are suffering. So much is going on in the spirit realm, Lord God. So many of your saints are suffering, either in their personal life, their marriages. There's so much, just so much going on, God. And Lord God, you know what everybody stand in need of. We will keep our sister, our Mother Grant. We call her our Mother Grant. We'll keep her lifted up in prayer. Her son, is still in the hospital, and he texted me, and she says that he has an infection now in his stomach and in his lungs, so we continue throughout the day to pray for him and also to pray for our Apostle Millie's nephew, who is also, he is fighting for his life. In the hospital, he's hanging in there, though. He's hanging in there. He's fighting. And much prayer is going forth for them. My God, it's just so much going on. That's why it's so important for us to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You never know what we're going to have to face from one minute to the next. We pray also for the family of the young woman who crossed over, the one that we were praying for. She was part of Mother Apostle Grant's family, Apostle Grant's daughter's friend, and I'm sure a friend of the family. She crossed over, so let's continue to pray for her family, because when someone crosses over, that's very dear to you. You all know that we do grieve and we do suffer. And so we pray for that family. But there's so much going on. Quite a few people that I know, that I personally know, is going through right now. So let's just continue to keep them in prayer. Thank you, Deacon Frazier, for praying for everybody, because he does that. He doesn't leave anybody out. He prays for everybody and everything and all of the states, and he just prays. He calls it all. He calls it all out. He calls it to their attention, to our attention, as he is praying people that we don't know, but he prays for everybody. Amen. And that's what we all should be doing, praying for the stranger, praying for those, like Apostle said, that have not even accepted our Lord and Savior as their Savior yet. But we say yet because many more will come to the Lord. Many more will be drawn to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as this time goes on. And we experience so many horrific events in the world. But nevertheless, when we know the Lord, we are not to fear. We are not to fear. God said not to fear. Do not fear. So many times, hundreds of times in the Bible, the Lord tells us not to fear. Why? Because he's here with us. When we know him and have a relationship with the Lord, he's going to keep us through it all. His amazing grace is going to keep us. Amen. So we are going to get to the word that the Lord has given us. Glory be to God. Bishop is going to get on his phone, so we're going to switch over phones. He's just coming in right now. Glory be to God. So we're going to switch over. I'm going to keep the line on this line, but I won't be on this line. I'm going to be on Bishop's line. I'm just going to keep it on and mute this line. So this line has a lot going on it. And I don't want any interference with the word. Amen. So thank God for all of you once again, all around the world. Amen. Turn with me to... Okay, you're unmuted? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. We're going to go to... Too much going on. Let's take it off. All right.
What's going on with your phone, Apostle?
Oh, my phone was on. I'm sorry. I was just talking away. And I was still on mute, making sure that we didn't get any noise before we started. But I thank God now we're here. We're here. So I was saying thank you. Thank God for this morning again, and also for the privilege of beginning this day with him, and also for the new mercy that we have started with today. Glory be to God. And I was asking God that as the day goes on, that he would give us wisdom to handle, not only wisdom, but understanding to handle every situation that comes our way. And I was asking if that storm is in Boston, where you are, Apostle. I wasn't sure if that storm is there or wherever it is. We need the hand of the Lord. We need our God to pour out mercy and give.
We're getting a lot of heavy rain where I am, but it's not as severe as a couple counties over, because we have a couple counties over. The roads are collapsed, and cars are going into the big crevice, you know, where the people just trying to go through the water, and then when they get down there, they're trapped. People had to be rescued out of the cars. I mean, the water was right over the hood. One car was completely over the top of the car. People just driving. You see it full of water, you don't go. They always tell you don't go into water. When you see the water look like it's covered, you don't go, because you don't know if the road is collapsed on that. Well, people are still acting stupid. But so far, nobody has died yet, but we've been praying. We've been praying this morning. But we are safe. We are safe. We are safe. Nancy went up to the store, and she went and voted and come back home. And we are safe in the house. We don't go anywhere.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. She's back home, and she's okay. And we're praying for those that are being rescued. We're praying for God to spare life and to have mercy on us all, because we never know what's going to come our way. I was talking about all the people, some of the people that I know that are going through so much turmoil right now and so much grief and agony because of what's going on. And, you know, it's very important, I was saying, that we have a relationship with Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is not the time to be playing around. We said that last time we were on. And just keep in mind that there is no shortage of anything good in the presence of the Lord. In his presence, there is no shortage in him. He always gives abundantly. And even in his wrath, it's abundant. It really is. He'll give us life and life more abundantly. But when we don't obey the Lord, the wrath does come. The judgment comes in this earth, and wrath does come. And there is wrath in this earth right now, the wrath of the Lord. The Lord is angered. He is grieved because of all who have rejected him. He's being rejected on every side, in every entity. He's being rejected. And we just have to be careful that we be mindful of everything that God has said for us to do. So let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to stay there in this book pretty much. 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe we'll be going from chapter 1 to chapter 5, back and forth. Glory be to God. So let's just get this. Let's get started here. Praise God. Please, I pray the Lord keep us patient and keep us hungry as we sit at the table today, at his table. You know, it's a privilege to have a seat at the table of the Lord. Amen. And one day we will sit at that supper table with the Lord in paradise. We will have a feast there with all the wedding feasts. That's why we're going to be at that celebration. Hallelujah. You had a dream about it, Bishop?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like an endless table.
An endless table. Amen. What a blessing. They can't hear you, though. And now they got a lawnmower going on. Bishop is saying that he had it. Okay. He's talking about a vision that the Lord gave him, and he wanted to share that with you all. We're just sharing today. Sharing whatever the Lord puts on his heart.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to share, it was a dream I had. The first year we moved in this house, about 7 years ago, about 2015. So it's nevertheless, I had a dream. And as far as I could see, there was a continual table, and it just was filled with all kinds of food and drink. And everyone was laughing and having a great time. And Jesus was saying, you know, like, enjoy yourself. You know, enjoy yourself. It's like the wedding feast. You know, that's the way I laid it to me, the wedding feast. But it was so beautiful. And, I used to work at a necktie factory, and I was a spreader. And we used to spread on these spreading tables. We had about five of them up on the second floor, and they were almost a city block long. You know, and we had to go from one end to the other, spreading and put the material out so the cutters could come behind us after so many layers and cut the tires out. the ties, the neckties. But I thought I saw a lot at a Christmas gathering we had, but I have never in that dream seen that much food and drink. And it was one continuous table. As long as I could see, as far as I could see, there were people and they were all happy. And Jesus was just, you know, saying, well, enjoy yourself, my children, you know. And I know it was the wedding feast. Everybody was dressed in white, by the way. Everybody was clothed in white. It was so beautiful. It was just fantastic. So I could say, it's indescribable how many people was there. Excuse me, I didn't have a chance to mute the phone. Hey, that's all I had to say about that. I'm coming over there on your side. No, it's over here.
Oh, okay.
First Peter chapter 1.
Okay. Because we'll be going back and forth in this book.
Okay.
Lots of scripture today. And we'll be on the subject for a while. Amen. Glory be to God. I know you are. Amen, amen. Yes, God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bishop is going to move on to this side where I am so that you can hear everything. You all can hear everything that the Lord has put on his heart as well.
Yep.
We're usually a little bit closer together here. So I'm here. I hope you all are there. And let's get started here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop. I know you were busy doing something, but thank God you have joined us now.
And I'm really.
So let's get busy in this word. We're talking about the subject of humility. Humble yourselves. We've got to be humble. And there were those in the Bible that were humble, very, very humble. Moses, we talked about Moses and how humble he was. He was humble because he loved the Lord. And he did the things that the Lord said to do. He did make a few mistakes, but nevertheless, he was humble because he had a relationship with the Lord, and he reverenced the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're in 1 Peter, and in the book of 1 Peter, there is a repeated call about the condition, a repeated call for a condition of the heart and the way of life. And the only way that any of the Word of God can make sense is if you are absolutely sure through faith, that we are going to have a great reward other than what we are rewarded with in this world. That there is an even greater reward on the other side in paradise. I talk about paradise a lot to encourage people to know that there's another place that we're going to go, and Jesus is going to take you there. He's going to take you there. He's going to usher us in. And we will be sitting at that table, that wedding feast that Bishop had a vision of. And so Peter is calling us to think, to feel, to think, to feel, to think and to feel and act in every way that will speak of us being that ambassador of Christ, which will speak about that unshakable, satisfied life that we have in Jesus Christ. And that we will have hope beyond this life. So we must have humility. Jesus was the most humble person, the Lord himself, who walked this earth. Anytime you can be spit on, my Lord, beat, spit on, beard pulled out your face, insult after insult, rejection, constantly being rejected by the people that you actually love. Even though he was being rejected, he still loves. He was being rejected, and he's still being rejected today, but he still loves us. So there's a hope that's beyond this place, and we must be humble to get there. We started out in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7, one of my favorite scriptures. Matter of fact, it's one of the first scriptures that I memorized because I had an encounter with an angel. I know she was an angel, and I was given this scripture, ponder on. That's the scripture that I was given. I was going through a tumultuous time in my life. And it was after I was born again. But enough said about that. I had this encounter. And I wrote the scripture down. I got a pen, wrote it down, all that. And I immediately began to ponder on that scripture. That is when I got home, because I was at work when I met this angel. And I know it was an encounter with an angel because she just disappeared from my eyes after we had this talk. But anyway, so our ultimate reward in heaven is where Jesus has prepared a place for all of us. Not for those who the Bible calls a bastard. Not for those that are illegitimate. We cannot be legitimate unless we have the Lord unless we receive him and live for him. I said the other day that action speaks louder than words. So it's the condition of the heart. Glory be to God. And the Father wanted us to have this reward to get paradise back because the enemy stole it when he deceived, when he was given that open door by Eve. And the two of them were deceived by the devil. Adam and Eve were deceived. And it was stolen from us. It still belonged to God. And we still can enjoy everything that God, that's in this world. But we should not want to be involved in sin. You know, sometimes that sin stuff can feel good. It can feel good. I talked about how they talk about getting lit all the time. Lit up. I'm lit. You know, I'm high, I'm feeling good, I'm doing my thing, I'm lit. But we have to be lit up through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Bishop, are you going to come this way or are you meaning to come that way? So the main reason Jesus died so that we could enjoy his beauty, the beauty of life and life more abundantly, the beauty of our beautiful Savior, hallelujah, to enjoy, to feel that feeling of gratification just to know him, just to do his will, and to know that you have done the will of the Father. whenever we are doing things, we should do it as doing it unto the Lord. That's action speaking. Hallelujah. We are representing him with our life by walking holy and being humble. We cannot walk holy without humility. It's not going to happen. So the main thing Jesus died for was so that we will experience a life lived with him in mind. If our mind stayed on Jesus, he'll keep us in perfect peace, and we will not be troubled and troubled and troubled. Trouble does come, but Jesus said not to let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled, because I am with you always. I am the Lord God Almighty. I love you, and I'm holding you in my hand. You're the apple of my eye. Why we say that? The Bible says it. David said it. Keep me as the apple of your eye, meaning keep your eyes on me, Jesus, which his eyes are. But the apple of your eye is the pupil of the eye. My God. That's right. That's right, Bishop. It's okay. It's the pupil of the eye. God is zeroed in on us. Hallelujah. And so it makes sense that we be humble. We got to do the sensible things, the things that God said to do. So Peter calls us to live and know about life and life more abundantly. So we're going to go to 1 Peter, first of all, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And all of this that we're talking about is relative to humility. We got to be humble. We went to the Beatitudes last time. This is the second part of humble yourself. And Bishop read the Beatitudes, and they're all really self-explanatory. So from 1 to 7 of the Beatitudes leads to number 8. It's 7 of them. And when you get to 7, the number 7 is the number of completion. When you have done, when you are doing all of them, God said, I'll complete the work that I started in you. Then God is working on us. Hallelujah. God is keeping us. Glory be to God. Because we are living out the Beatitudes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And number 8, I need Bishop to read number 8 of the Beatitudes to go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Yeah, but keep that crimped off. Because it leads to, from 1 to 7, if we're doing from 1 to 7, then there's going to be some suffering. Amen? We got to suffer for righteousness. And being humble to live in the way of the blessings that were pronounced in the Beatitudes from 1 to 8. 7 is the number of completion. We continue to live our lives in the Lord, and God said he'll complete the work that he starts in us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, he says. And so number 8 is the prerequisite. We have to carry our cross and suffer. Suffering is all part of wearing the ring. Amen. Wearing the ring. When we get married, man and woman get married, we have rings. Hallelujah. And we say, I do. And many people say, I do. And not long after they say, I do, they say, I won't. I did, but I won't anymore. because they find that it takes some suffering. It takes some time. It takes time to develop a relationship. Amen. It's going to take some suffering when you put that ring on your finger. There's a suffering. Hallelujah. So there is going to be some suffering. Jesus suffered, and we have to partake of suffering in this earth. But it's all worth it, because one day we're going to be totally with God. He is in us right now, but we're going to be in that paradise that was stolen, where the enemy won't have to be contended with. We won't have to deal with that warfare anymore. Although God said, the battle is not yours, it is mine. So we can't try to battle things by ourselves. We need the Lord, but we need to know about the blessings that Jesus pronounced over us so we could be humble. Amen? Yes. He pronounced a blessing. The Beatitudes are a blessing. He said, blessed are those. Blessed are those. I'm going to deal a lot with meekness today. Being humble is being meek. Not being weak. Being meek is not weak. Being meek is being strong, because we are weak, but the Lord is strong. And so, therefore, the Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is not weak. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Powerful. We have the power living within us. We never have to be afraid of what's going on in the world. I'll say it again. Don't be afraid. Much more is coming. Much more horrendous things are coming. Worse than what you see right now. Worse than the floods that's going on right now. Worse than the fires. There's so much more famine coming. There's so much more heinous crimes. But we're living in that time right now. So God wants you to know, stay with me and I'll keep you. He's going to honor and reward obedience. So Bishop is going to read number 8. We read them all. You all can go through them again, because we read them all, for the sake of time.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We want to go to number 8. Amen.
Blessed are ye women shall. Yes, shall.
Amen, shall.
Amen, shall.
Amen.
Revile you.
What? Revile you?
And persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
And shall.
Shall.
All manner of evil things against you.
Amen.
But here it is. Why? For my sake.
For my sake, he said. For my sake. So he pronounces the blessing. And then he goes on to say, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be reviled. Shall. That means when we give all and all. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You don't hear a lot of preachers preaching about this. People don't want to hear about the persecution part. We don't want to hear about the trials, the tests, the tribulation. We want all the blessing. Now, Jesus said you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed when you mourn, blessed when you're meek. All of the 7. And one day, God is going to complete the work he started in you. Number 7 is the number of completion. All these blessings, it's already been done on the cross. It's already been given to us. Hallelujah. There is a place that there's a setting where we're going to be able to sit at the table with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day, just like he sat at the table with his disciples and had Holy Communion. Well, we're going to be having Holy Communion in his presence. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
And we should be having Holy Communion
when we walk holy, it's holy communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're communing in prayer. That's what prayer is. We're communing in prayer. We're communing with him when we give. We're communing with him when we live a holy life. We're communing. Now, we take up the bread. We take up the wine. Hallelujah. And he said, do this in remembrance of me as often as you will. Do this in remembrance of me. Commune with me. Talk with me. Walk with me. Work for the kingdom. Pray. Fast. All of these things we talk about on Blog Talk all the time. These are things that we must do, and it is communing with God while we are humble in doing so. We have to remain humble. That's our topic. He died for us, and he remained humble all throughout the suffering, all the way, all the way, all the way, as he carried that cross, falling down, suffering. And as I said before, when Jesus was falling, it wasn't because he was a sinner. He was falling because of us and because of our sins. Hallelujah, that he came here to die for, to the death for, die for, so that we would have the ultimate beauty. It's just so wonderful. We have the beauty of our Savior right now, the beauty of it, that he loves us so, so much, even when we make mistakes. And how he died and how he forgives us. It's all there. When he died on the cross, the forgiveness, the suffering, the forgiveness, all of the sins were paid for at the cross. He was humble. So that number eight, there's no mystery about you have seven, you have eight beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Because eight brings us into a new beginning, a new life. While you're experiencing your new life, you are going to suffer. He said you shall suffer these things. But it's all part of the new life. But it's all worth the suffering for where we know we're going to go. It was all worth the suffering for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He gives us joy. The Bible says joy unspeakable. That means another word is this inexpressible joy. Hallelujah. He died for us to have that. Joy we can't even explain. Peace that surpasses all understanding in our minds. We can't understand it. We can't fathom it in our minds. But we feel it. We know it. We see it. Hallelujah. Glory be to our Holy Father. So if we want God, if we want to experience that supreme satisfaction, then you will want to be heaven bound, not hell bound. Or hellbound. Born again believers, the doers, not just the hearers, but the doers of the word, are heaven bound. We're not just given the word lip service. We're given the word. We're given of God our servanthood. We are going to be servants, leaders who serve, not just the people in the pews, but the leaders, those pastors, those prophets, those. We're all supposed to be leaders, like I said. But many people are hooked up on titles and not Jesus. You want to be hook, line, and sinker with Jesus. Hooked on Jesus because it's the ultimate satisfaction for your life.
Can you say I'm satisfied in Jesus today? Satisfied down in your heart, because what Peter, what our brother Peter is talking to us, going to be talking to, through the Bible, Jesus Christ is talking to us today through the Holy Spirit, is about our heart. What is the condition of your heart? Because what flows from the mind, it goes into the heart. So do we want to have that heart that's inflated with love, or deflated with evil? That's right. The heart light has to be turned on, and Jesus will surely turn you on. You want to be turned on by Jesus and not the evils of this world. You'll be lit for sure. You'll be lit up for sure, because the light of the world will be shining through you. But we got to be humble. You know, people just react to everything these days. You don't know how to be humble. Some people just don't know how to be humble, Bishop. Somebody cuss you out, you want to cuss them back. Sure. Somebody do you wrong, yeah. Some people, you say two words from them, they're ready to kill you. You got to be humble to receive the reward. You know, somebody spit on you, can you turn your face away, or are you ready to fight? Think about it. Can you turn the other cheek like Jesus did? When somebody revile you, like it's saying, persecute, all of this, can we turn the other cheek? Can we? We can. We can, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But it is a hard pill to swallow. I remember my mother was spit on by an evil old witch. No. She spit on my mom. And do you know that same woman? Well, you don't know, because I'm about to tell you. That same lady, she was very old, and she lived alone. Never had family or anybody to come over. But my brother used to go to the grocery store. We used to help her. But she got angry with my mother one day. I don't really believe what it is. I don't know what it is. But I don't know what happened. But I remember my mother talking about how she spit on her. But do you know that same lady was beating on that floor? She fell on the floor, and that same day she died. And my mother ran up those stairs to go and help her. This is what's called turning the other cheek. She didn't run up the stairs to beat her up when she spit on her, because my mama was looking up and she just spit on her. Because I don't remember what it was. But she ran up those steps to help her when she was beating on that floor and screaming for help. So see, that's turning the cheek, because she could have said, "I'm not about to go up there. This lady is evil," and she had even pronounced something evil over my brother. It was so evil, the things she spoke against my mother's son. So I'm just saying, that's just an example, that we have to be humble. We have to show that humility, because that's of the Lord. So now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Amen. No, we'll go back and talk about each one on another message. We'll be here for a while.
I'm just looking at the creation.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Nothing will make sense to us until we get into the Word.
I want to ask you something.
Sure, sir.
I want to say this. God's Word says,
mm-hmm.
when you think of the cup,
yes.
eat of the bread, it's his body and blood.
Yes.
Do this in remembrance of me. And it also says, as often as you will.
As many times as you want to.
That's right. Why?
Amen.
Why does churches say, oh, the third Sunday of the month is my communion Sunday? You can have communion every day.
Well, first, well, yes. If you have your heart right. Because we must make sure our heart is right with the Lord before we take communion.
Okay, but if you, so it's on the third Sunday, so the first, second, and fourth Sunday, you might not even go to church. I'm not going to church. I don't like her that's sitting next to me all the time. But then on the third Sunday, they're running up there holier than thou, looking. And they haven't forgiven that person.
And we
or
have
to forgive themselves.
And we must examine ourselves.
Oh.
Examine ourselves before we take communion. So some churches do that, and that's their program.
Yeah.
But here is the thing. Get your wine. Get you some kosher wine. That's what we have here.
Uh-huh.
And your bread, your crackers, and take your communion as often as you will at your house. Yeah, we use the little oyster crackers. They call them oyster crackers. They don't really have a flavor. They're unleavened. And that's the ones we use. Matter of fact, we're going to do communion later. But we must do communion. But the main thing is that understanding that communing with God is about praying.
Mm-hmm.
It's also about doing his will. That's communing with God. Doing what God said to do.
Mm-hmm.
So read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. I'm there, Bishop.
Oh, I see that.
I can read it because there's much more scripture to read. We're going to hurry on here. You got it? Glory to God.
Okay. Whom have you not seen, ye love, in whom
though you do not now see him.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Believing, you rejoice with joy, unspeakable, and full of glory.
Amen.
See, I'm going to have to, when it gets to ye, I'm going to have to say you.
Yeah.
It's all in the
though you have not seen him, you love him.
Yes.
Amen. That's believing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hope of glory.
Glory.
You believe in the Lord. We must believe.
Hallelujah. Don't be deceived.
That's part of.
You must believe.
Amen. Don't be deceived. You must believe. Yes, Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want God to be your one and only, we should want him to be our one and only. That's how it is in a marriage. That husband, that wife, one and only. We're not going to step outside our marriage.
We're supposed to have outside lady
or outside man or maybe more than one.
Oh, my goodness.
Because some folk got more than one. People are in the bed with men and women.
Oh, Jesus.
So we have to have one that we adore. One husband, one wife, amen, one Jesus Christ.
Oh, God.
Adore, honor, obey the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will remain humble.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus died so we can live. Amen. So Jesus is supposed to be that inexpressible joy, joy unspeakable. It's a way of life. It's a way of life that's possible. It's possible through the Holy Spirit. Can't do it by yourself. We can't do it alone. We need, first and foremost, to believe that we can be this holy person, that we can be this ambassador for Christ, that we can serve the Lord in holiness. Because many are serving, but it's not in holiness. The heart is not in the right place. This is the mindset we ought to have, a way of life that says to the world, that I love Jesus. I live for Jesus. and your light is shining in this very dark world. He is the one that satisfies, totally satisfies. Not a husband or a wife can totally satisfy you. Boyfriend, girlfriend, children, mama, daddy, nobody else can totally satisfy you but Jesus Christ, because he has done more than anybody will ever be able to do for your life, because he gave his life.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the purpose of giving us life and life more abundantly, so we would not perish, number one. If you have life and life more abundantly, we're serving the Lord, we're not going to perish. We're not going to perish. We don't have to be afraid. No matter what you see going on, the storms and all the stuff you see, don't be afraid. Just be aware. Be on the watch. Be aware. Learn all you can learn. But we got to know Jesus. We can learn all 66 books and not know him. And have all this knowledge and still go to hell. We talk about hell a lot. People don't want to talk about hell. They think it's harsh. That's too harsh. Why are you talking to the people like that? That's how Jesus talked to them. Jesus talked about hell. Because the light Peter is calling for us to live, it can only be done through humility and love for Jesus. The hope, the world does not give us. The world can't give that. The world can't give the peace Jesus gives. The world can't give the joy he gives. And the world sure can't get you into heaven. Surely not. The ways of the world will not get us into heaven, but the ways of the word will keep us on the right track. So now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 6 through 7. We're still going to be in that book, so keep that book open, Bishop. I'll read this one if you want me to. Yeah, so you get back to that, and you have more to read. 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Hear what he's saying, grieved by various trials. Verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire. Hear that? So that the tested genuineness, God is going to test your faith to see how genuine you are, than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire. And you know, gold has to go through the fire, right, to burn off the dross. So our faith has to go through the fire for us to come up higher, higher in God. We're going to go through the fire. We're going to experience some things that's going to make us even more humble. So it may be found, he says, so you may be found to result, it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor. Praise, glory, and honor. Amen? So, Peter calls us to rejoice in suffering.
Oh, well, I rejoice. Thank you so much, Ed.
Yes.
I rejoice not so much as you are partakers of Christ. Christ is suffering.
Yes.
That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen. With exceeding joy. It makes sense.
Hallelujah.
It makes sense when we have the hope that takes us beyond this life, takes us out of this world, wows us beyond, wows us beyond our thinking. It just wows us. We can't even comprehend it. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. It's wow to me when I think of what the Lord has said, that he is preparing a place for us, even after he's already suffered. But he's preparing a place even for those who have not come into the Lord yet. But he knows the ones that that's gonna come in, because we know that God knows everything.
Okay.
Even though you may see a person living like hell right now, that doesn't mean you're not gonna see them in heaven. Huh? Because God has the same, God has plans for all of us.
I think throughout your life, I think God has put you on us. You got, where is it? In Leviticus, something that do this, do that. Is Leviticus?
Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
Chapter 28.
If you do everything.
Everything.
Like Jesus said to do, then when you cross over, you shall be saved.
You shall be.
You got to believe in your heart now. You know, you got to believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth.
That's right.
Out with it.
Yes.
Which I'm going to do that. But anyway,
in a little while, you'll be given a prayer of salvation.
Yes. But you must speak it out now.
Amen.
Because the enemy don't know what you think. He can talk to you and make you think. Put something on your mind.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the rewards that we will receive, that Jesus has prepared for us, even in this earth, there are rewards for those who diligently seek the Lord. Amen? But they are incomparable. The reward of glory and honor, it can't compare with anything else. The glory and the honor of the coming of the Lord, the coming of Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. That's right.
And his reward is with him, Bishop.
Hallelujah.
Books.
So First Peter, in this book, he's calling everyone to do good. And not to fear anything that is frightening.
Yes,
Lord. So some people fear stuff that's not even frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are in fear of stuff that never even happened yet. It is not even going on, but they have some fear about it. Fear that it's going to come. Fear. Why would God say, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God.
That does he not said, mean not do, to lock your doors. No, that don't mean not to lock the door.
Lock in the knowledge of the word.
Right.
Lock that up.
Uh-huh.
Have that locked into your heart.
But
we must lock our doors. But there's been times when we slept with the door when my sons were living here. They would just be in and out, and leaving the garage door open, the back door, the front door.
Uh-oh.
But the Lord. That's okay. Nobody's going to bother. The angels are watching over the house.
Last night, you opened the door and it didn't close all the way.
Right.
It did.
And we were sitting in here with the door open.
Yeah.
It wasn't even all the way shut.
Yeah.
But that's just carelessness. We need to stop.
Yeah.
We need to not do that. But I did. I wasn't.
But you see,
I brought the groceries in.
This home is protected.
And the bags were kind of heavy, so I was more focused on doing what I was doing. But nevertheless, we have to be careful, keep the doors locked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the times that we're living in, God wants us to be wise and have the understanding that we should take all precautionary measures.
That's right.
God is watching over us, but he does not want us to be foolish
that's
at all.
Absolutely.
So God is calling for everybody to do good, but not to fear. I know I've said fear quite a few times because many people are in fear. We must fear the Lord.
Fear
the Lord. God has not given us a spirit of fear.
What?
Power. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. A sound mind. But we got to have, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy verse 7, that's right. You'll find it there. Amen.
They can go back, you know, and review it and find the scripture and read it, you know. You can read it for yourself.
Yeah.
The Lord says, trust no man.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's not that we're not trustworthy, but we will, you know, read something and do it mistakenly. You know, I didn't mean to read that. Or I read it, and I read it wrong. Like, you know, like, I look like sometimes I got six eyes. You know what I mean? Eyes all over the place, especially in this King James version of the Bible. It's very difficult to read because of the thou's, thou art thine, you know, all that. It's not our everyday language. But be advised. Still the word of God. And you must read it and ask God to understand. Oh, what we're saying about communion, you were saying communion. May I go back there, please, man? I just want to give them a
wherever
scripture.
The Holy Spirit leads you.
So I want to give them a scripture that the Holy Spirit brought through me, and through Apostle Jefferson. And read down.
What about Apostle Miller Jefferson? I didn't
Apostle Miller Jefferson is the one that brought me to the scripture. I read it, but I didn't. You know how you read, but you're not really, you're reading, but you're just saying words. You're not paying attention.
Yeah, you're not getting the full understanding.
That's right. Okay, mm-hmm. The full understanding.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to God. I forgot what she started. I think it's 23. Okay, 23 to 30. Okay, that is 1 Corinthians, chapter 11.
You're talking about communion now.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
We have to commune with God. That's right.
Verse 23, and I'm not going to read it. I'm just giving you the verse. It's 1 Corinthians, at chapter 3. I think I just said that correctly. Chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. Read it. It'll enlighten you on how serious it is to take communion unworthy.
Got to examine yourself. That's what the scripture is talking about.
Examine yourself.
And we have to examine our lives and our walk with God.
Holy.
Examine your life. Examine ourselves. Mm-hmm. When we hear the word, a lot of times when we read the word, it'll cause us to examine ourselves.
Uh-huh.
It'll bring to mind something that's not right. So we must examine ourselves, ponder on some things, you know, ask God. We should always ask God to forgive us for things we have said, done, or what we have not done that we should have done.
Uh-huh.
Amen? And ask God for forgiveness for whatever it is. We got to make sure before you take communion or call ourselves communing with God and walking with God, you can't walk with the devil and walk with God. Communing with God is walking with God and obeying absolutely everything he said to obey.
Yes.
When Moses did not obey a command of God, now look at this. God commanded Moses, remember, Apostle talked about it yesterday, to hit the rock, to speak to the rock. He didn't tell him to hit the rock, but he hit the rock. That's not what God said. And he was chastised harshly for that. Now, when he, the commandments, broke, just threw them to the ground because of his anger and
it's, I would say, it's warranted anger, but at the same time, warranted anger does not mean that you should display that anger. Because we're human, we get angry, okay? Just like we have joy and all those other things, at times we're going to be angry. Think certain situations make us angry. It goes without saying people can make us angry. God, he brought the Ten Commandments to the people, and they were worshiping a golden calf. Now, again, I say the anger is warranted. You would be angry, too, if you were in Moses' shoes and walking with the Lord like Moses was walking with the Lord, being up there all those days, 40 days with the Lord, and come back down and find these people doing something so foolish and so sinful. They rejected God. That's what apostles, they will commit an idolatry. They made a God. They had to have something tangible. So the reason I'm saying this is because it was all right for Moses to be angry, but God didn't give him no instruction about, okay, I want you to do this or that. Give the word to the people, you know, give the commandments to the people. God didn't give him any instructions how to do it. So you don't hear God harshly disciplining Moses for that. Because God understood his anger. Amen? He understood that. And he understood why Moses did what he did with the rock, because he knows that Moses is only dust like we are. He knows that. God knows us, and God knew that Moses sometimes would react in anger, but he still calls Moses a humble man. The word says Moses was humble. Why? Because Moses knew the Lord, and because Moses loved the Lord, and Moses bowed down to the Lord. He made that mistake with that rock because the people on his last nerve, and they were constantly saying things and doing things that was contrary to the word of God. But that was the ultimate right there, doing that golden thing, you see. But when he directly disobeyed God, it wasn't indirectly, it was directly disobeying God, then it angered God. It angered God. And God told him, you will not see, you will not go with them to the land of Canaan. But God said, but Moses is with Jesus today. Amen. He is with Jesus. Although he made mistakes and although he sinned, he was still humble before God. He had that humility. I know you, God. I know you. He served the Lord. He was a servant, a humble servant. Hallelujah. So we must be humble servants. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Bishop, Peter goes back to what some of what
Some of what
Jesus was saying. It goes back to the Beatitudes here. Peter is speaking what Jesus spoke in the Beatitudes. It's a reference to the Beatitudes here.
Okay.
Verse 9. First Peter chapter 3 and 4. Okay. You want me to read it?
Yeah.
I'll read it. Peter commands us
Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Remember Jesus said, you shall be reviled. And the enemy was going to come against you with all manner of evil. Right? So Peter is saying, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless. Why? Because we have the hope of glory. You can bless instead of calling ourselves, paying somebody back for something they did us. Don't repay evil for evil, reviling for reviling. We got to turn the cheek. Mm-hmm. But bless, and blessed are those who overcome. Amen. We can overcome this through the strength of the Lord. The hope of everlasting blessings is the reason why those who are sold out to Jesus do what they do. The hope of the everlasting blessing, because our God pours out on us enough, more than enough, that we can withstand and stand to do all to stand on the word of God. We can be humble. We can be holy. When Jesus said, be ye holy as I am holy, as I did, as I do, be ye holy. It means it can be. You can be. You can be in a state of holiness by doing what Jesus did, what Jesus does. Hallelujah. Pour out his kindness, love, hallelujah, mercy, everything. The kingdom is in us. It's in us. We can do it. Amen? The Lord lives in us, and he will live through us. Amen? And when we know that, we have the hope of everlasting life. The hope of an everlasting blessing. But he lets us know to get the blessing. He pronounced blessing. But you've got to be. Have the right attitude. Have the attitude that Jesus speaks of in the Beatitudes. That was his first sermon on the Mount. Hallelujah. Check yourself. Get your attitude right. Do these things, and you'll remain humble. Hallelujah. We're talking about humble yourself. Turn that cheek. Be meek. To be meek is to be humble.
Somebody
hallelujah.
Somebody should listen. Everybody should listen. You want me to put it in street talk? Watch yourself, your foot, until you rake yourself.
Examine. If we examine ourselves and not be in denial about some things that we do or do not do that we should be doing, then we'll stay in check. It's like a checklist. You got to do it. You got to have a checkup. Just like you go to the doctor to make sure, like you go on your annual checkup. I go pretty much every 6 months. You go to your annual checkup, the checkup with the doctor. You got to check up on yourself. We need the Holy Ghost to help us. We need to go to the Holy Spirit for a checkup.
He's right within us.
He's within us, and he will let you know when you're out of order. That's what he does. He's called the convictor. Hallelujah. He'll comfort, but he'll convict. Amen. He loves, but he will convict. And when we love, do you want to see your loved ones going on falling by the wayside? You see a loved one doing something wrong? Are you going to say something? Are we going to say, hey, come here, let me talk to you.
Yeah.
It's something that I'm seeing, and it's just not right, Or we're in a company of people and we know they're not saved. Can you ask them? Can I pray for you? Do you mind if I pray with you? You don't have to beat them over the head. Do you mind if I pray for you? Or even ask, do you know the Lord?
Old saying.
Do you know the Lord? Do you have you experienced Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, be gentle. Be gentle.
Old saying. Catch more flies to come than vinegar.
Amen. That's right. So we got a few more minutes.
Runs down into the mouth. Oh, yeah. Man, put a bad taste in your mouth. You know, but if you speak to them softly, gently, kind words, don't lift your voice, because when you raise your voice to someone, they think they're trying to command that something. You can say the same thing it says, that command, just read it softly too. You speak it out harshly, you know,
you may lose.
You make them back up. You know,
yeah.
Wait,
can cause them to stumble even more.
Then you
Amen.
Have a problem. Like
yeah, then you got a problem because Jesus said if you cause any of these little ones to stumble,
uh-huh.
What did he say? It would be like having a
millstone
around your neck.
Uh-huh.
My God.
My Lord.
So Peter commands us not to repay evil for evil. So returning good for evil is when you're humble. Returning good for evil, and it could very well cost you or us our lives in this
Lord.
It's possible because we have put our hope in a blessing that's way beyond here. Amen. So we got to suffer and serve. We're talking about servanthood as well, because as leaders, we must serve, but we're going to suffer and serve. And when we're humble, we just do the suffering. We do the suffering without the complaining. Amen. We just do it because we know that this is what we've been called to do. So Peter tells us, just rejoice as you share in Christ's suffering. Because we have a goal, we're going to rejoice. Because one day we're going to be so happy, so wonderfully happy and glad to see his glory revealed. And we're going to have glorious bodies when we get to the other side.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's how we make sense of this gospel. That's how it makes sense. Because when you hope for something, it's something to come. Right?
Yes.
Why hope for something that's already there? But we have the word to go by, to live by. Amen? So one day we'll see ourselves with our glorified body, we'll see Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yes, three times. Past, present, and future. Keep believing.
Amen.
You can't change the past. You have to be right here and present where you are.
Amen.
Because you can predict the future.
That's right.
It might not turn out the way you predicted. Now, if you heard from God, a certain thing can happen, and you truly believe that you heard from God, you know, okay, I suggest that you make sure you speak to God. I know this thing that's going to happen, or I keep seeing happen.
Hello?
Yeah, we're
God
here.
Be with you.
Let's go on. So Peter is constantly saying to us in this book, just to rejoice and accept. It's called acceptance. We have to accept the fact that we've got to do the work, we've got to go through in order to get to where we want to be. Amen?
Amen.
So we share in Christ's sufferings, he said, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed.
Yes.
Amen? This is Peter talking. Peter has repeatedly called us to think in this book, to think and feel and act in a way that can only be explained by our unshakable faith.
Yes.
The satisfied feelings that we have for Jesus Christ, all satisfied, beyond where we are right now in this earth. The hope of being with God, with Jesus, seeing him and sharing his glory. So we must suffer to serve. There goes that lady. She keeps talking about suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus suffered, and we got to suffer. We might as well accept it. Going to be some suffering when we decide that we're going to be willing to do the will of the Father. We're willing, and he's able to help us to get through. He's able to keep us humble. He's our hope. So some people will say, that's a weird way, that these people are weird. But God said that we are a peculiar people.
Mm-hmm.
And many will not understand, but they'll call us weird, meaning the same thing, peculiar. The reason why we act the way we act and we do what we do is because we have the light of Jesus in us. We're not living in the darkness anymore. He's brought us into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So we can see. We're not blind. We can see him. We feel him. We know him because we do the work. So we have to have a humbleness, a willingness to do all that God said to do, to suffer when the wrong comes, to serve even though we are reviled, we are treated wrongly, we are talked about, we are persecuted, we suffer the wrong, but we still serve rather than return the evil for the evil. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. We're going back and forth in this book. It's so good. So it says here, for what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of the Lord. When you do good and suffer, but when you do something bad and suffer, it's your fault. When you sin and suffer and get beaten for it or get chastised for it, it's your fault, but you endure. When you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is gracious, he said, in the sight of the Lord. It's a sweet aroma to God because you did not return evil for evil. You remained in your humble state.
Amen.
Sight of the Lord. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it says, it's better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. My God, since Christ suffered, amen, amen. So, Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It's better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will than for doing evil. Because Christ suffered in the flesh. He says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
He says, arm yourselves. I'm giving you the scripture now already.
All right.
Called it out. But Christ suffered in the flesh. He says, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking because you're going to suffer in your flesh. That's the only way the devil can get you, through your flesh. I mean, that's one of the ways that he comes, you know, people get sick and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But for whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Uh-huh. You suffer in the flesh, but you remain humble. No matter what's going on in your flesh, you remain humble. You remain obedient to God and give him praise, thanksgiving, and give him honor. Now, we're about to close here. In verse 1:1 in 1 Peter, Peter presents himself as an apostle, but also a fellow elder alongside the elders in the church. He says, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder. He's identifying himself with them. He's not talking so much about he's an apostle. So you see, this is a humble thing to do. He's modeling, imitating Christ. The humility, the joy, his willingness to serve, my God, to serve those that he's teaching, to serve those in the body of Christ, to serve those that don't have anything, to serve those who are hungry, to serve those who are homeless. I'm a fellow worker. I'm a fellow worker. That in mind, we're supposed to be working. We're working when we send to those who are in need. We're working. Amen? We're working when we pass out food on the street. We're working when we bring someone to Christ. Hallelujah. We're working when we visit the sick, when we visit the orphans. We're working. We got to do the work to know him. We got to humble ourselves to know the Lord. He won't have it no other way.
Hallelujah.
It's a humble thing to do, to model Christ, to model that humility, and to show the joy of serving him, the willingness, the readiness to serve. So you see, the reason why Peter has this attitude is because he has seen Christ suffer and serve like this among them. And he expects that he's going to share in the coming of the Lord. He's going to share in this coming glory. Hallelujah. That's the hope that we have. Hallelujah. It's why we do what we do. We have the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So verse 1b says, I'm in verse 1. So this is verse 1b. I exhort you as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. I exhort you. I'm happy. I commend you for being a witness of the suffering of Christ and being a partaker. To be a partaker, you got to be willing to do the work. You got to be willing to partake of the suffering. Hallelujah. So he calls for that kind of service from the elders also. Not under compulsion, but willingly. You know, because some people will try to drag you into something. You shouldn't have to be. It shouldn't have to be, people shouldn't have to beg you to come. People shouldn't have to beg you to come and do the work. Constantly. People shouldn't have to beg you to honor your brothers and your sisters for the work that they do. Peter honored those people. He honored the elders. He honored those that he was over or the leader. He was an apostle, but we can't be so egotistical. He let them know that I am with you. I partake of the same suffering.
I'm no better than you.
I do the work. I'm here to work with you, not make you do the work, all the work, but I'm here to work with you. And we're all employed by the Lord to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Hallelujah.
And when we get to paradise, okay, we ain't going to be a pastor, bishop, but we're going to just be children of God, the bride's God. You know? And you're going to have ranks like that.
Amen.
You know? But not.
Be faithful in little while you're here, and God will be faithful in much. Even the more when you see him in his glory.
Well, man, so
they're dirty. Okay. So, we don't want people to feel like they're way beneath us or that we're the dominant ones. We're in charge. I'm in charge. But we have to be examples to the flock as a servant of the Lord. We have to know we must always be a servant, do the work, than to be called by a name, a title. You're doing the work, that's what's important. Hallelujah. Because people will say, well, who made them bishop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who made them an apostle? Who told you you're supposed to be a pastor? Who told you all these things? Are you doing the work? I'm saying, bishop, are you doing the work? Are you doing the same works the apostles did? Are you doing the same works that the evangelists do? Huh? Do the work. Forget about. Yeah. The rank is not. You, God is not impressed by your rank. The thing we have to do is be holy. He said, be holy. Hallelujah. He didn't say, you be an apostle, you be a bishop, you be an evangelist. We do hear from God, but we all got to do the work. What work are you doing? What work are you called to do? God is interested in us doing the work. Get that done. We need to get our minds off being above. God said we are above and not beneath because we have come into a life of holiness. A life of holiness. We're above and not beneath because we're humble. We're above and not beneath because we're meek. Hallelujah. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when we come and when we go. When we obey God, that's the most important thing, when we obey God and do the work. When we visit those in prison, those who are lost in their minds, those whose souls are lost, those who locked up behind bars because they did some criminal thing, huh? We're visiting them. Knowing the Lord is more important than knowing that I'm this or I'm that or I'm the apostle, I'm the bishop, I'm the this, I got my ring, I got several rings now on my finger. Yeah, you got a ring in your nose. The devil put his ring in many of them. No, many of them have a ring in their nose from the devil. They're listening to the devil. But that's not what we want to preach about today. We're about to close now in a few minutes. So how does this all of this is making sense, because God said, do not be hearers, but be doers of the word. It doesn't matter what your title is. Forget about it. Forget about it. Hallelujah. When we have supervisory positions, we're not supposed to beat up on people, talk to people any kind of way. We were watching a movie on yesterday, and this girl was such a good servant to this woman who was a singer. And she did everything for this woman. And this woman disrespected her and dishonored her, and it was horrible. And that's the same thing that happens in the body of Christ. Some of the same things. We do the work, and then we don't get paid in respect and honor, more so than the wages. Amen? That's more important than the wages, to be respected, to be loved, to be treated kindly. Hallelujah. That's more important than getting the wages. That's what you want more than anything. That's what you want. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so we're closing now. Thank you, Jesus. Today, unfortunately, it's hard for many to make sense of the fact that they should trust those in the church, because they see how leaders are being coerced by money and power, you see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people to believe when they see these things going on, all of this materialistic stuff. But we have to think beyond. We have to continue to do the work so those that don't believe can be won over by the Spirit of God. We got to do the work. Amen? Because if we call ourselves certain, oh, I'm the apostle, I'm the bishop, I'm the this, I'm the that. But then they see you doing everything that people do in the world. They don't see you doing the work of holiness. They don't see you being humble. They don't see you doing the things that God said to do. When they see us, when we make ourselves an example by examining ourselves and doing the work, then others will come to love the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen? So we got to have a hope beyond this place. That's why it all makes sense to me, because I have the hope of the glorious life on the other side. Amen?
Amen.
So the way of sacrifice brings joy, and it makes for a humble leader. It makes sense because of the hope. All of this makes sense, what we're talking about today, because of the hope of the glory of the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah, the coming of Christ Jesus. We're going to receive an unfading, an everlasting crown of glory. It won't fade away. Hallelujah, forever and ever. The life of a true, biblical, born-again, biblical servant of the Lord. It only makes sense to, and it'll make sense to anybody else when they see how we live. It makes sense to live the way we live if we're living for Christ. Hallelujah. We can't explain it. We can't explain this in a natural way, because what we're talking about is supernatural. We can't explain it, but we can do it. We can do what Jesus Christ did, lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord. He came to serve. Hallelujah. And it'll make good sense to people when they see the blessings on your life.
Yeah.
It's going to make sense to other people. And they're going to see the love in your heart, the gentleness, the mercy, the grace of the Lord, the favor of the Lord on your life, where your house is blessed. You've enthroned God in your home. You've enthroned him in your car. God is over everything in your life and over everything he's given you. He's enthroned the number one in your heart. You allow him to sit in your heart. You've made your heart to be a throne for the Lord to sit on. Hallelujah. You've enthroned him there. He's enthroned in your family life. Hallelujah. Because you're doing the do. Glory be to God. You're just doing the thing. Hallelujah. And God is going to do what he promised. And we're blessed forevermore. Hallelujah. Can't explain it. In natural terms, we can't. Hallelujah. So Peter takes the same mindset that I'm talking about right now and applies it to all of us in this book. He says, likewise, in verses 5 and 7, likewise, that it is just 5 and 7 in the book of Peter, first book, that just as the elders are called to be humble and serve you as examples, rather than lording it over you, I'm over you. You who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. But to some people, it's hard. It just doesn't make sense. Because we see the world where humility and lowliness and servanthood do not get you anywhere, it seems. It doesn't get you that promotion. It doesn't get you a nomination. It doesn't get you to have your ordination. You know, you want to be, some people want to be ordinated pastor. They want to be ordinated this and that. But it doesn't get you the promotion. So they don't understand. Because we're living in a world, y'all come on now, we're living in a world where self-promotion and people exalt themselves is so prevalent. It's so prevalent today. People exalt themselves. But God said, if you humble yourself under my mighty right hand, casting all your cares upon me, I'll exalt you in due time. God will exalt you. God will promote you. God will honor you before men. Hallelujah. Don't be trying to exalt yourself. Don't get into this self-promotion stuff. Allow God to do it. And sure enough, when you serve him with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, he's going to exalt you in due time. No matter what you're going through, no matter who did what, when, or wherever. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you?
Yeah.
And with that, we close.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Bless your holy, matchless, wonderful name, God. Father, we thank you for this word. Oh, my God, I feel you, Holy Ghost. Thank you for this word, God. You're so wonderful, God. You give us such wonderful,
yes,
wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, you gave yourself.
Okay.
You gave your life so that we could have this life we're talking about.
Life,
thank you, Jesus. Life and life more abundantly. It's not God's will that any man perish.
Yes.
And he died for us all.
Yes.
Not just for one. But he would have done it just for one, though.
Mm-hmm. One honest.
My God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us with your word today.
Yes.
in Jesus Christ's name.
Yes,
we pray. Bishop is going to do the prayer of salvation now. Hallelujah. We pray you accept the Lord as your Savior. Get low. Bow down. Bow down. Get low.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll continue on. We're going to still be in the book of Peter. We're going to study this whole book. Hallelujah. Before we leave from this book. Amen. Let's just imitate Christ.
Hallelujah.
And everything else will be all right. No matter what you're going through, if you're living for the Lord today, everything is going to be all right and is all right. Just wait on the Lord. He'll give you new beginnings. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're waiting on you, Bishop, for the prayer of salvation. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ooh.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. And for the new believers, because today the Lord is telling me somebody, somewhere, is going to step in as they say. I pray every day when I see this book of salvation and I read the scriptures. Sometimes I don't read them. I just ad lib it, if you will, because it's like I could put a recording, but I like to mix it up sometimes because people get bored when they hear the same thing. But it's not what I say. It's what God says. Right now, remember, keep that in mind. It's what if God says it's not what. Don't worry about it. I was christened, named James E. Washington Jr. E is for Edward. It's named after my father. You know, and he was outstanding, man. Outstanding. Yes. All right. Now, if you go to the book of Romans, okay, and in chapter 10, okay, chapter 10 of Romans, if you don't have your Bible, you just write the scriptures numbers down as I call them out, and I'll read in the book of Romans, at beginning at chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. And the word of God says, but what saith? The word is near you. It's near thee, even in thy mouth. The word's in your mouth, which means you have to speak it out. Don't say in silence, Lord Jesus. You know, say silently for yourself, Lord Jesus, I want to be with you. I'm turning my life over to you. Because that don't faze the enemy because he can't use your mind. Speak it out loud. You don't have to scream it to the top of your lungs. But once you open your mouth, then just like you're hearing me, you just talk like Apostle was speaking just now. Sometimes you got real soft, okay? But sometimes you got loud, okay? You don't have to scream loud because God can hear every word you're saying, but so can the devil. That's how you get so many people in trouble. They open their mouth and they say something, and instead of saying, God, take this from my mind, don't let me speak this. They speak it out, and that's what gets them in trouble. See? Yeah. Sometimes, like old folks, you tell me, you open up your alligator mouth, and now your tapered hind quarter is in trouble because you got a big mouth and nothing to back you. Okay? Now. If you go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, it says, but what's saying? The word is near you. It's in your mouth, and even in your mouth, and even in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, in verse 9, it's actually confession, you know, but you got to say that that was said in verse 8, that you have to say this in verse 9. That's what it's leading to. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, speaking of God raising Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It's in the King James Version. And shall is, you know, firm. Now, you know, and I'm going to read a little further today. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Now, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. But the law, but the Jew, I'm sorry, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whoever so calls upon the Lord, on the Lord's name, shall be saved. Okay? You call upon the Lord's name, you're going to be saved. If you've made that confession, okay? Now, no matter what kind of life you were leading, if you made that and you truly believe it and you speak it and you mean it from your heart, it doesn't matter what sins you have committed. From if you're 20 years old, if you're 60, 80, you know, and I'm old enough to know better. I know a lot of people are older than me that know better. So why not put it in context? Speak that, and you shall be saved. And if you read it for yourself, it's Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 8, and going all the way down to verse 13. Okay. You shall be saved. It's written right in God's holy Bible, James, or notebook. You know, it's written in the King James Version of the Bible. That's how it's written. It may be a little different in New Living Translation, American Standard, you know, translation, because they are written in more about modern day terms, modern day English, I'm sorry. But, you know, where these thou's, thou art, that confuses a lot of people. That's the scripture that I want you to read. Now, if you turn to, we'll turn back and go back to the book of Acts. Go back to the book of Acts. Let's see, the book of Acts at chapter 2. You read chapter 2 of Acts, beginning at verse 38. All right. And this is Peter about to baptize people. And by the way, if you have made this pledge, this promise to God that you want to be with him, you must repent. Don't go back to what you was doing, no matter what it is. Don't go back to it. And I can tell everybody, if you was living with someone before you took this prayer, and you could be in the same house with them right now, you know, say, hey, look, I just received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Okay? One of us has got to move. I don't care if you've been there 20 years. One of you got to move out until you and that person get married. You're not supposed to live together like husband and wife. You're not supposed to. No. Get married. Don't live in fornication. Because it just doesn't make sense to do what you want for your pleasures on earth, and when you cross over, don't get out of hell free card. You know, you don't get that. You go directly to hell. You know, but you don't want to do that. We don't want to see you do that. And definitely, God said he doesn't want to see any man perish, and that goes for women too, mankind. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at 38, Verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent. You see that word is coming back again. Repent. Don't go back to what you were doing. Your slate is clean. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You see what it says? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Nobody else. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and unto your children. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And all that are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I went all the way down to 40. And with many other words, he testified and encouraged them, saying, save yourself from this perverse generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And in the same day, there were added about 3,000, you hear me? About 3,000 souls. Would you join those 3,000 souls and the many millions who have received Jesus today? I urge you to do so, because we're in tumultuous times. Put it like that. We're getting close to the end according to the signs. But now a thousand years is but like a day in the life of God. So we don't know. People say, yeah, well, the world's going to end such and such a time. Really? How you got your information? Because God didn't tell me that, you know, and he didn't tell anybody else that. You know, you're making up stuff, you know. Prince made a song, said we go party like it's 1999. For what reason? Because people were saying the world's gonna not, that the 2000 would be it. As soon as 2000 came in, at stroke of midnight, there would be no more earth. You know? So why did you go party? You should have been in there praying. You know, oh Lord, please, please, please save me. You know. Now, also in the book of Acts 12, I believe it is. I don't know why I always get those two confused. The trick of the enemy trying to confuse me. But it does say, with either one, it's chapter 4, verse 12, I think. At any rate, it says, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven. Nor any other name under heaven mentioned other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't say Muhammad and Buddha and all those people that these people pray to. Like in some parts of the world, they pray to monkeys and elephants and cows and stuff. You know, I'm sorry for them, but I pray that they can get converted to Christianity and stop the idolatry of animals and statues. Even in the United States, they pray in the statues. None of them can talk. Nor see, nor hear, none of those statues. Yeah. Neither is there salvation in any. Well, there is none other named under heaven that men must surely be saved, but whereby men must be saved. And that would be chapter 4 of Acts and verse 12. You can read it for yourself. Acts 24. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Read it for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Boys and girls, I mean, if you're old enough, you know, if you understand. You know, this phone went on. Are you still there? Hello? Is anyone on the line?
Hallelujah.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Now, invite people to your baptism. Okay? and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as it says in the Bible. The manufacturer's handbook tells you how to keep this machine running in the correct manner. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for those who accepted you as their Lord and Savior today.
Yes,
oh, God, I pray that many, many, many people accept you. And if you've accepted Jesus, okay, there's no shame in the Christian game. Okay? It's not a game. I just rhymed that up. It's the truth. There's no shame. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to take away all shame from us. He took it away. Jesus carried that cross, and he was totally naked. They stripped him of all his clothing, put a crown of thorns on his stones in his head, pushed down into his head. And I don't know what they gave him for a scepter. I forgot. But they pushed... not for a scepter, right? Wave, yeah. No, on the cross they gave him sour wine to drink when he said, "I thirst."
Yeah.
Yeah, I thirst. And they gave him bitter wine.
Mm-hmm.
It was horrible. Jesus went through so much for us, for our sins and iniquities, not him. Thank you, Jesus. My God, I love my Savior. Oh, Lord Jesus. I love my Savior.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you. And I hope that anyone who has accepted Jesus today, don't be Mike Shy. You're in Box Talk Radio. Just say, I want to speak, and just speak. If you want to make comments about the lesson, fine. If you want to say that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, fine. Because we love, and we invite you to come back to Block Talk Radio. It comes on 7 days a week most times.
Mm-hmm.
Some Sundays, they don't have service. But almost 7 days, almost every week, we have service. And Apostle Linda and I are going to try and see if we can, you know, help out Apostle. Because we need people to come and give a word. We need people. Don't be shy. If you can, that's right. You want to bring the Lord. Now, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a title, but you never hear people say it, but you're an ambassador for Christ. You represent. Ambassadors represent countries and kings and queens. Just think, you're an ambassador for the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. I'm so proud. That's where I am proud. Jesus has died for me. I'm thankful and I'm proud that he died for me and for all of us. Don't let his dying be in vain. And please don't get baptized. Ask your pastor if you have a church. Ask him to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and invite people to your baptism. And if your pastor doesn't do it, somebody will do it. One of these churches will do it. You know, just go to another pastor and ask them. We baptize people as they do in the book of Acts in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And break out your Bible on them and show them. Show them what I showed you. Show them what I told you. The book of Acts and the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9. Okay, and it tells you that the apostles did it in Acts, the book of Acts, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's Acts chapter 38, chapter 2, verse 38, beginning at 38. Read it for yourself. Bring it to the attention of the pastor where you go in the church. Now, they may not have that revelation yet. They might have been a pastor for 30 years. And never got their revelation. So I know there's some that don't baptize at all. They don't. No, they don't. Yes. Yeah, I know. We joined the unhooked. We were hooked one time. We joined the unhooked. you know, it's in a church that did not baptize.
We were
born again, but still, we never received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Well, not we didn't get baptized that way. Yes. Okay. So we thank you for coming today. Hallelujah. And I'm sorry I took so much time, Apostle, but I got to get this point across to people that they must receive Jesus as their Savior. He's the way, the only way. So God bless. Say it again. And the Bible. Hallelujah. Here you go, Apostle.
Thank you all.
Thank you,
Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for the word that you have given us today. Lord, you have allowed us to look through the corridor of the scriptures today.
Yes.
And Father,
yes,
you have spoken to us. Lord, we receive, Lord. We have eaten at your table today. Lord, we have feast, and we have been filled. Lord, we ate and we drank. Lord, now we ask you now to open the window, the door, and the gate of heaven and replenish all that they have poured out, this apostle and this bishop, Lord. Yes, pour back into them, O God, for their good, for our good, and for your glory. Father, we are continue to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for blessing
Lord.
Us with your word. Many people don't have access to the word, but Lord, we thank you that we have access to it 7 days a week.
Thank you, Lord.
24 hours of a day. Lord, I ask you now to bless the airways. We pray for Mother Grant's son. And Father, we ask that you intervene. So many are going to the hospitals and they're not making it out. They're going in for small problems, and the small problems or situations becomes big problems. Lord, we ask that you show up, because there's nothing too hard for you. Oh, Lord, we ask you to go in and fix this situation, that Mother Grant can rejoice. She is so easy to cry and weep when things are not going right. Lord, we know that you catches the tears of a believer in a special bottle. We ask you, God, to dry her eyes. Cause her eyes to dry up, Lord God. Cause her to be able to sleep well, not worrying about her son.
Yes,
Lord,
God.
She worries about everybody.
Yes.
And we pray, God, that you strengthen her. We pray for
God.
the niece that crossed over yesterday in Mississippi. We pray, God, for her family. We pray for all of her loved ones. And, Lord, we know that they say that she knew you and the pardon of her sins. She knew the blood that was shed at Calvary. So, Father, you received her into your arms. And
Hallelujah.
Now bless her family, even those that are not saved, that even as they go to the homegoing service, whenever it is, that they will be convicted in their hearts to give their life to you. Oh, Father, we just pray for a great revival to begin to take place in this nation and all over the world, all the continents and everywhere. Lord, we ask for a revival to break forth where people are changing, not the revival of man, but the revival of God, oh God, that you revive the people. Oh, Almighty God, we just pray right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you bring us on one accord, Lord God. Oh, Father, that the power and that your glory will rest upon us, Lord God. In the mighty name
Lord.
Of Jesus, we pray. Oh, Apostle, thank you for the word. I thank you for
thank
the word.
You.
One of the things that was really catching me is that I was hearing the word as I was hearing the word surrender. I was hearing that in
Lord.
The message that where the Lord was calling for not only for the unbeliever, but for the believer to truly surrender. Because a lot of people are saying that they're, and you said in the word, they say they're saved. You know, they say they're saved. But are they really saved? Because their lifestyle is not speaking. You see, the lifestyle is not speaking. See, your lifestyle has to speak. It's not what you say in the Bible, but it's what how you live.
Amen.
You know, we take up the Bible and we can read the Bible. You call it verbatim. You know, read it word for word, chapter for chapter, letter for letter. But if we don't start living these letter for letter, chapter for chapter, you know, Jesus called them hypocrites and vipers. He called them dogs.
Yes, he called them.
They were saying, yes, we know Jehovah. We know Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Abraham was our father. They was our forefathers. We know Moses. He gave us the Pentateuch. He gave us the Torah. But Jesus said, no, they are hypocrites. They are vipers. They are dogs. He called them liars. He was talking to first people that were supposed to be in the synagogue, in the temple of God. He called them dogs. He called them vipers. And he said they were liars. Satan was their father. Why? Because they was talking it, but they were not walking it. They were not living it. And that's what I was hearing in the message. You talk strong how people truly have to be humble. You know, people have to be humble. How can you love the Lord and you can't support your sister? How can you love the Lord and you can't support your brother? No, you don't love the Lord. Jesus said it in the word. How can you love me and you never see me? But you don't love your brother or your sister who you see every day. Jesus said in the book of Matthew. Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord so much. He is my Savior. He is my crown. He is my water when I'm thirsty. He is my bread when I'm hungry. And all the stuff to say that sounds good. But they wouldn't sit next to their sister in the church because they can't stand their sister. They wouldn't sit next to their brother in Christ because they can't stand him. I've experienced it. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Yes, Lord.
They don't have no love for each other. And then they have this conspiracy that comes from the devil that they're better than somebody. We ain't better than nobody.
Right.
If you think you're better than somebody, just take an inventory of your own heart. Because guess who's looking at it? I got news for all of us. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Yahweh, is examining our hearts. So when we push our chest up and lift up our nose like we have arrived, guess what? We ain't even close to the platform. We're not even close. You see, we arrived. We testify how long we've been preaching, how many preachers we know. Preaching's not going to get you into heaven. Preaching is not going to get us into heaven. Guess who got to get us in? Who got to let us in? He got the keys to the door. He's the only one can let us in. Jesus is the one. We got to receive him. We got to believe in him. We got to live according to the instructions that he gives. I talked about it yesterday. He's giving corrections and instructions. We have to be corrected, accept correction, and then we have to follow the instruction. Jesus just don't correct you. He corrects you, and he gives you instructions how to live. That's why we have to be humble. That's why he's calling for this. He said, if you humble yourself, he would exalt us in due season.
That's right.
After we humble, he would exalt us. He says, I read this down yesterday, that we have to submit to the Lord, submit to his way and to his will. And then we got to commit to doing what he called us to do. We got to commit. Glory to God. I see several preachers come on the line today. Several preachers. And they only can stand on the line for 2 minutes. I'm watching. The funny thing is that I see everything on this line here, Apostle. On the computer. I see the telephone numbers. I see them come on the page. Even that guy came on, that homosexual guy from New York. That comes and disturbs the line. Two days he came on the line. You know, I had him the day before yesterday, Saturday. He came on Saturday too. I think he was here Friday, and I see him because he comes up and he don't show his number. And he got just a white, got like a white glove, Today his number showed up. And he said, hello, you there?
Heard.
Are you there? That's him, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, because he wanted this service. And so as I picked up the spirit, I said, bang, mute, quick. Didn't give him a chance, you know, to continue.
And I
step on. My God, it was so powerful. I tell you, this series, I was talking about that yesterday to a friend of mine. This series is so, so beautiful. It is so beautiful, Apostle.
Praise God.
It's so beautiful because God is calling for us. Why? We got to become as little children. That's what he wants us to do. Little children have open hearts to love. Truly, they don't know no hatred. They are taught hatred. But you know, little children, they love one another. You see them on YouTube just hugging black and white, Asian, Latinos, and all of them hugging one another. But as soon as they grow to that little baby stage, the parents start teaching them. As soon as they get out of preschool, you know, they're going into elementary, parents start telling them about the different races. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you see a heart that goes from love to hate. And it continue. Most of them continue all the way up to grown-ups. God said we got to go back to that stage. We got to go back to that place where we know no hate. And we only know the love of God. Humble yourself.
Hallelujah.
Then we'll be ready to love one another, help one another, care for one another without having to make an excuse. Why? Because I can't stand him. I can't stand her. Why I got to make excuse? Oh, they always think they're this. They always... No. Excuse me. What we got to do is just go back to that place where Jesus is in control. See, when I'm humble, Jesus becomes, he takes control. When I'm humble, when I'm truly humble, God is taking control. He has control
That's
over
right.
my heart. He has control over my mouth. He has control over my eyes, over my ear. This is what I'm hearing in the message.
Man,
he's got control. We're not going to make
right.
it. We're not going to make it if we're still in control. If we still running the ship, you know, if we still run the ship, guess what? We gonna run aground. We gonna be just like Paul and those people with that ship back in Tarsus, sailing the. They gonna run aground because they gonna go right into the storm.
That's right.
You see, but when you humble, you gonna hear what Paul heard. Don't sail. He tell him he warn him. Don't sail yet. That's the first thing he warned them, don't say. But they decided, gotta go.
Gotta go right now.
And they got into the storm. And then they had to throw stuff out the boat, to lighten the boat. And God still saved them because why? The man of God, the servant of God was in the boat.
And
he was in
the
ship. That's right.
Yeah.
You know? And it goes, and it saved
That's
them.
Right.
But folks
That's
today
right.
don't want to be humble. Apostles, they just don't want to be humble. They're stubborn. They're stiff-necked.
That's right.
You know, we preach about the Jews, the Israelites, so much on this blog talk, really. But we are just like them. They are our forefathers. We are just like them. Even though everything is written down in the book, it's been penned down for our learning. So we don't have to act just like them. I said, my son, man, you don't have to use cocaine. You don't have to use all the hard drugs and stuff. I've been through it. You see what it took me through, you know. I don't drink alcohol. I try not to drink it and get tore up on it because if my father died from it, it burned out his liver. He died in the house. Nobody didn't even know he was in the house. He was like a balloon ready to burst in the house because he lived alone. And people don't understand. God saying this stuff is here for us to see and to learn. It's not just a picture on the wall that you're looking at and say, well, I'm going to take a picture. That's fine. No, it's for us to digest. It's just like a meal. This word of God, I'll tell you, it's like a meal. You come to the table, you eat it. You eat so much that you can regurgitate it, just like a cow. Just fill your belly till it starts coming out your mouth. This is the word of God. And I support everybody, Apostle. I support everybody. Only when they're not, when you're not, when they're not teaching the truth, when you're not teaching the truth, I support you, because my, I want to grow. I want to grow.
Amen.
I ain't where I want. I don't. I'm not where I want to be yet, but I know for sure that I'm not where I used to be, because God
Glory
is raising me up. He's raising me up, and I know as I keep on to hold on, He's going to take me farther in Him. I know that. I still make mistakes.
Amen.
And when I make mistakes, I come, I tell you, yeah, man, I got stuff going on. I got mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes happening. I said, no, I need to pray for me. I ain't got there's no stuff in my game. My stuff is plain, straight. And as a fact, there's no game. My stuff is real. You know, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. You know, I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And if it means that I have to humble myself and become as a child, that's what I'm going to do. And I know that's what it means, because He says so. He says so. I got to humble myself. You know, I got to love people in spite of how they are. I'm not going to act like them. I'm not going to let them cause me to act like them. Why? Because I know better. I know better. If they don't want to go in, I'm not going to let them stop me from going in. The devil is smart. I'm not going to let him stop me from going in, but I'm going to use this word. This is sweet, strong word, Apostle. I thank you. And
praise God, hallelujah.
And my brother Bishop was hitting hard today too. Bishop was hitting hard. I tell you, he was hitting hard. He was hitting clear too. He was hitting hard, swinging hard. See, that's the way you got to hit. But I tell you something, because we're not recording. We're not recording now. When you come up to preach, Bishop, you got to get to your position. I say this to this, and this is not a rebuke, because you listen, we are trying to get things in a place where everything is framed up right. You know what I'm saying? If you got to be on Apostle's right side, get to her right side. If you got to be on her left side, get to her left side. So you got everything ready to flow. You know, you got everything ready to flow, because that's, you know, because you're setting things, you know, you're setting everything in motion for the Holy Spirit to flow. And if I know if I get on your right side, that it's gonna sound better. I don't have to wait. Once I get to where, honey, I gotta be on your right side. That's better for me. Honey, I gotta be on the left side. Pastor God, let me get over here on the left side. The right side, whatever, you know, and everything will flow smooth. But the word, oh Lord Jesus, help me. The word was so sweet today and yesterday and the day before. I mean, every day. You know, I've been trying to bring in a couple of people, but you know, the Holy Spirit just speaks so clearly. I like to have everybody have a chance to teach and preach, but the Holy Spirit is saying to me, if folk don't want to come and support the people that are already here, they should don't call people to preach. You know, people just come in to preach because they want their voice to go all over the world, but they don't want to come and support other people. You know. No, I got preachers that want to come and preach. I know right now. I'm calling. They come tomorrow. They come the next day, but they don't never come on Blog Talk Radio and support nobody.
That's the truth.
You know, don't come and support.
Not even you. Even when you preach, you know, and it should be for
all.
Well,
that's what I said.
Yeah, just like you're saying, for all of us. But I mean, some people would at least come in and say something to you, you know. But that's not even. But you're absolutely right. So we'll leave that alone. Praise God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The Lord
is
speaking.
Thank you so much.
He's speaking. Thank you, Apostle, for what you said. I mean, the whole word is about surrender. It really is. That sums it up. That just really, it's like a summation. Surrender all to God. And then you can be humble. You know, we can look at it in that way. It's the only way to look at it, is to surrender all to God. And you will be humble. You'll be all that you can be through Jesus Christ. Amen. We can be all that we can be through Jesus Christ. Holiness brings it on. It brings it on, and it pleases God. Only holiness is going to please God. It's not the works as much as it's working in holiness and working through holiness. Amen. And like you always say, the heart. The heart. It's about the
heart. That's right.
And that's what he was preaching about. It's about the heart. And you always mention that. Glory be to God. So when the heart is right, like Bishop said, when you got your heart light on, you're going to be able to move.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the way you're supposed to move, you can be totally surrendered because God is going to allow you to see. Mm-hmm. He's going to allow us to see, number one, him, and number two, ourselves. Amen. And then we'll be able to know other people by their spirit. But we have to have spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Once we get the spirit of the Lord, we can flow in the spirit. Amen. And give him all the praise, honor, and glory of God. First and foremost. Amen. So thank you, Apostle. We just love doing what we do. We love the Lord. And I know we do. And we love you so much. We really do. We love you and your family. Glory be to God.
Bishop, I call him Brother Bishop because that's how I see him, as my brother Bishop. And so that's why, Lord, give me that. Brother Bishop, you give me two words last year and they kind of like leave me, those two words, submit and commit. They were two of the words that came back in the tagging last night. But those two words are so powerful, so powerful. You can take them two words and you can preach anywhere through the Bible, from anywhere in the Bible, using those two words. And they're so strong. They're not big words. They're not highfalutin words, but they carry a lot of weight with them. A lot of weight. Sometimes when I'm studying, they come up in my spirit. I say, yes, Lord, I hear you. Submit and commit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
A lot of people, they would say they submit, but they wouldn't commit. And some would commit, but they wouldn't submit. See, they got to go together. You can't use one and leave the other one out. They got to go together. They're like twins. That was powerful that the Lord gave that to you, Bishop. The Lord gave that to you. I can't steal it from you, but one thing to do, I can use it.
Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, we can use it.
Lord told me the first time, he said, first you have to admit.
Admit
you're a sinner.
And repent.
And repent, submit.
And then you can get some. Then you can submit, and then you can commit.
Commit. That's right. Commit.
Okay. Yeah. Bishop. That's it. Yes, Lord Jesus.
Yes, I'm saved, and be lying through their teeth.
Yes, right.
If they cross over, they got an express train to hell, and you go and burn. Soon you cross over, because they got some people who they want you to believe they are